Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Good morning, church. Hey, great to see you all. I'm Pastor Tim. Let's give a big old welcome to all our live locations, Church Online, Somerset, Middlesex, Passaic, Princeton, Mountside, Garwood. Love to see you guys. So happy you're here. Hey, next week, we're starting a brand new series called The Blessed Life. Everyone say blessed. I want to encourage you to be here for this. Show of hands, how many of you would like to live a life that is blessed? You know what blessed means? It means the supernatural favor and grace of God is on your life. His favor's on your family. His favor's on your relationships, your health, your work is blessed. Right now in our culture, there are a lot of ideas, opinions, influencers talking about what it means to be blessed. But have you noticed this? A lot of people who came to be hashtag blessed are actually pretty empty people. We're anxious, you know, or celebrity hungry, you know. The good news is this. God has a very different way of looking at blessings. And I want to kind of turn that upside down for you and teach you two very powerful principles in the Bible that attract the favor and blessing of God. And so next week, I'm going to teach you about the freedom that comes with that. So bring a friend next Sunday as we discover what it means to authentically live this blessed life. Now, today, I want to share with you a message God put on my heart on Monday morning during my quiet time with him, actually. Because last Sunday was mind-blowing, wasn't it? We had over 6,600 people come worship Jesus. Let's give God a praise for that. Celebrating the resurrection. Love seeing so many old friends, new faces. Dozens of people lighting a flame of faith, saying yes to Jesus, receiving salvation for the first time. Hundreds of others recommitting their life to Christ. And I hope you're encouraged as I am, right? Guys, Jesus is alive and so is our church. Amen? God's moving today. He's still speaking. He's still changing lives. And never forget this. Jesus did not die to make bad people good. He died to bring dead people to life. Amen? Alive to Christ, alive to his spirit. You know, I had a young woman come up to me after the service. She said, you know, Pastor Tim, I grew up Catholic, went to Mass my whole life, and I've always worn a cross. We take communion at Mass, Eucharist. And she said, always observe Lent. She goes, but I never really understood, why did Jesus have to die? She goes, I always wondered, like, why did the religious leaders want to kill him? And then why did he have to suffer like that in my place? And what makes the resurrection so powerful? And then she got teary, and she said, you know, after these last 5 weeks, walking with Jesus through his passion, I feel like I finally understand that his passion is personal. Like, it's for me. And she got all teary, and she's like, I felt like I finally felt God's love and know Jesus personally. And then she cried, and I cried, because it's beautiful, isn't it, when, like, your faith becomes real, right? When it's not just this, like, childhood tradition or something your parents made you do, but you know God personally, and then he knows your name as his son or daughter. So on Monday, I'm just thanking God for all he did on Easter, but I felt like God saying to my spirit, Tim, the empty tomb's not the end. You need to tell people the story of Jesus doesn't actually end right here at the empty tomb. In fact, the Bible says after Jesus' resurrection, he spent 40 days appearing in the flesh to his disciples and hundreds of people before ascending to heaven. And did you know Jesus gave his disciples a set of final commands? Here's a question. Do you know what his last words were before he returned to heaven, his final instructions? Well, Matthew wrote them down. Matthew was this eyewitness to the life of Jesus, and in his biography of Christ, Matthew records Jesus' final words. I'll put them on the screen. Jesus came, told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. I want you to go in the whole world, and let's read it together, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to leave you. Those are the final words of Jesus to his disciples, which includes you and me. And did you see the final command at the heart of it? Jesus said, hey, now that everything in heaven, earth, it's all under my control. It's all under my footstool. I'm in charge of the whole thing. He said, I'm giving you a command. Here's what I want you to do. Go. Don't stay here. Go. Make disciples of all nations, and I want you to baptize them. Name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, once you become a follower of Christ, a Christian, He says, I want you to get baptized. Everyone say baptized. Baptized. How about you've been baptized? I'm just curious. Just kind of raise your hand if you've been baptized. Okay, awesome. That's cool. You fulfilled this command. I mean, think of all the things Jesus could have said, right? He could have said, okay, guys, before I go to heaven, I want you to hear it. Listen, lean in. Ready? Go make disciples and build churches. Could have said that. He could have said, I want you to go and make disciples and feed the hungry. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to heal every sick person. But he didn't say that, did he? Instead, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, I felt like God wanted me to talk to you about baptism, what it is, why it's central. It's central to not being a casual Christian, but a fully committed follower of Christ. And then more importantly, why I'm convinced this is the next step that many of you need to take in your journey to experience the power of God, to be filled afresh with His Spirit. Our spring baptism is coming up in 3 weeks on Sunday, May 7th. And I felt like the Spirit kind of nudging me, saying, Tim, I want you to bring maximum clarity that this is the next step, yes, for new Christians, but also for longtime believers who have never been baptized in water as an adult. Because I get that a lot from people. You know, I have people say that all the time, like, Tim, I was sprinkled as a baby. And then they say, does that count? Or they say, my parents had me baptized as an infant. Is that the same thing? And the answer is, respectfully, no, it's not. It's not the same thing that Jesus is commanding here in Matthew 28. In fact, it's not the same way that Jesus himself was baptized and then gave us an example to follow. So let's just start there, because baptism, understand something, watch this. It's the first thing Jesus did in the Gospels, and it's the final command he gave before leaving. In fact, let me show you where Jesus was baptized, the history behind this. It's an ancient practice. And then I'm going to invite you to bring your bathing suit to church in 3 weeks. Get in the water with me and our campus pastors. Take the plunge with us on Sunday, May 7th. So let's first look at this origin story, the original baptism of Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the what? To the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. He said, man, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. He said, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, no, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize Jesus. Now let's pause here. Show of hands. Who here has been to the Jordan River? Raise your hand if you've been to the Jordan River. Okay. Raise your hand if you've been to the Jersey Shore. Okay. Jersey Shore. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay. Take a look. You can see the Jordan River is not Caribbean water. It is more like the Jersey Shore. The water is kind of brown and green, more than blue. But let me take you there on a virtual tour. Okay. I'll give you a little drone shot of this. The Jordan River is 156 miles long. It snakes all the way through Israel from the Sea of Galilee in the north of Israel all the way down to the Dead Sea in the south. And it's this kind of very vital river. The nations of Israel, Jordan, and Syria, they use it for irrigation. The nation of Jordan is named after the river. You ever hear the West Bank in Israel? That's the West Bank of the Jordan River. It's vital to the whole region. And when Colleen and I visited there, it was amazing to go down to the river and put on a white robe and kind of wade into the Jordan for a baptism service. Christians from all over the world, all different nations, like Jesus said, travel here to be baptized in its green waters. Now, I was blessed to be with a wonderful church from Miami, helped that pastor kind of baptize his congregants. And then he said, would you do me the privilege and honor of baptizing me? So I got to baptize him. This is Pastor Lennox. Check it out.
Amen. Matthew says that Jesus went down from Galilee to the Jordan River where he was baptized. And the Bible says when he was baptized, heaven opened and there was a voice that said, this is my son, whom I love. Him I am well pleased. Lennox Zamora, you are a servant of the Most High God. It is my privilege as your brother in Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So funny. Listen, you don't need to wait to go to Israel to get baptized, okay? In fact, getting baptized, it was the first thing that Jesus had on his list to start his formal ministry. Verse 13 says, he went from Galilee, his home in the north, to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And you may be like, now who is John? Let me be very clear here. This is not John the disciple you see all through the Gospels. This is John the Baptist. There you go. There he is in stained glass, okay? If you didn't know this, did you know this? Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They're actually born 6 months apart. Their mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, they were actually besties. So these guys were like family, okay? So John and Jesus, they probably spent their childhood growing up together. They probably played hide and seek in the hills, skipping stones on the Sea of Galilee, memorizing the Torah, all the stuff young Jewish boys did. So Jesus and John are thick as thieves. They're close cousins. But more than that, John believed in his heart that his cousin Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, the promised Savior who was going to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And John actually lived out in the desert, and he said, hey, it's my job to prepare the way for Jesus, my cousin. So John begins baptizing people by the hundreds, telling them to repent. Get ready for Christ's arrival. Verse 5 says, people from Jerusalem, all of Judea, all over the Jordan Valley, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Now, understand where this tradition comes from. This is fascinating. That word baptize, everyone say baptize. It comes from a Greek word, baptizo. Can you say that? Baptizo. It literally means to immerse, to submerge or wash something clean with water. So if you baptizoed something, it means you put it in the water, you hold it under until it gets completely saturated. Now, here's the interesting thing. Baptizo was not a religious term to start. In fact, it was usually used for housework. For instance, like when Greek women washed their clothes, they baptizoed the clothes underwater, they'd come out clean. By the way, that's not a statement about gender or anything like that. It's just like that's in Greek culture. The women did the laundry, okay? Don't write that down. Don't nudge your neighbor. That's just, okay, here we go. Follow. People who wanted to dye fabric, they'd baptizo. They dip the fabric in the dye till it came out a brand new color. Parents, you ever like make tie-dye t-shirts with your kids? You ever do that like in the summer? You baptizo the shirt, right? And then it comes out this brand new design. That's the origin behind the word baptizo in Greek culture. Very ordinary domestic stuff. But when Jewish culture, they gave it a religious spin. In Israel, you can still visit these giant bathing tanks. Take a look. They're called mikvahs. It looks like a hot tub carved into the ground. It's kind of like a Flintstones hot tub, isn't it? And Jews would fill that tank with water and baptizo themselves. You know why? Because before you could go to church, before you could enter the temple, every Jew had to bathe. You had to get the dirt off your body. Actually, not just the physical dirt. Baptizing in that mikvah was a way of showing your desire to be spiritually clean before God. In fact, take a look carefully. I'll show you a close-up. Look at the stairs. When people walked down into the water, you entered the water unclean. But when you came up out of the water, you were considered spiritually clean before God. In fact, in Jesus' day, this form of baptism was used when pagans converted to Judaism. So like if you were Greek and you're like, you know, I think I'm going to follow Yahweh, the God of the Bible. You would go down, you would literally be baptizoed and born again as a Jew. You were drowning the person that you were previously and you come out born again into God's family. So that's the history, the archaeology behind baptism. And that's why he's called John the Baptist. Matthew says in those days, John the Baptist came to Judean wilderness and began preaching. And his message was simple. It only had 3 points. 1, repent of your sins. 2, turn to God. Why? 3, the kingdom of heaven is near. That was his message. 3-point sermon he preached it every single Sunday. Like that was it. He had nothing else. John called people to repent. Everyone say repent. You know what that means? I know you think like turn or burn kind of thing. It actually does mean turn. It means you're going in one direction and you're turning. And I'm thinking it's a new thought. And actually, I think I'm going to go this way now. I'm going to go a new direction, God's direction. The Greek word for repentance is this word metanoia. And it means to turn. I'm changing my mind in my behavior. Honest moment. Have you ever done something in your life that's just like, you're just like, that was a bad choice. Why did I do that? Anybody? No, just me? Okay. Like you stay up until 2 a.m, you know, watching reels and eating Haagen-Dazs, right? Feels so good going down. You just, oh, that's so fun to sell, you know, all that. And then you wake up the next morning and your mouth is dry and your face is puffy and you look in the mirror and you're like exhausted and you're like, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I think I am going to go in a new direction. I am not going to eat after 7. I'm going to stop scrolling and I'm actually going to go to bed on time. That's repentance. You're like, this was the way I was living, but I'm turning from the stuff that's killing me and going in a new direction. So repent just means you got a change of mind. I'm thinking things through. I'm having actually a change of heart. And watch this. It leads to a change of life. So John baptized people who needed their lives to change. The Bible says that John baptized tax collectors. In other words, there were thieves who cheated people out of money. And he said, repent, man, turn from your greedy ways, turn to God and change your life. Worship God, don't worship money. John baptized prostitutes, okay? People who abuse sex, he said, repent, turn from your sexual brokenness, turn to God, change your life, worship God, not sex. He preached repentance and people responded. It says people from Jerusalem all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River, baptizoed them. So understand, God used prophets like John to call people like, hey, bro, get back on path with God. Repent, turn around, wash your whole life clean before it's too late. That's repentance. You first change your mind. You say, you know what? This is destroying me. This sin is destroying me. And I'm going to change my heart about God, believing he's not mad, that God actually wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a fresh start. And then you let his love change your whole life. How many of you believe that God is a God of second chances? Amen? That if you actually confess your sin, just tell him what he already knows, he'll actually wash them away down to the Dead Sea, bury your old life of sin, and raise you to new life in Christ, a fresh start. Do you know what that's like for people who've screwed up? Amen? Hello? Anybody else make mistakes? Can we get real here? It's like the best news ever. I will never forget a few years ago, I was preaching just about God's grace, this unmerited favor and love and forgiveness, and how his love's greater than our biggest sin. And after service, this young girl comes up. She's in a hoodie, and she comes up for prayer, and she's kind of like trembling, and she's looking like real all shifty, like side to side, and she reaches in her coat. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's she going to pull out? And she reaches in and pulls out a Ziploc bag full of pills and pot. And she says, Pastor Tim, this is what I worship. I don't just do drugs. I deal them. I don't think God could ever forgive me. And I said, well, have you asked him? And she prayed one of the most beautiful, just snot coming out of her nose, sinner's prayer. And she's just like, and I was just like, I put my hand out. I was like, in the name of Jesus, God has forgiven you. And you know what she did? She took that Ziploc bag of pills and she literally dropped it right on the altar. And she just cried, gave her life to Christ. It was beautiful. Now, the funny part is, I was like, you know, great, you know, let's help you get into, you know, rehab and all that kind of stuff. And we followed up. But she leaves the pills here in a Ziploc bag. And I was a young rookie pastor. I didn't know, like, what do you do with a bag of drugs, you know, sitting on the church stage? And I'm like, we can't leave it. There's kids around. So I put it in my backpack. Totally forgot about it. And I'm driving around New Jersey with a bag full of methamphetamines. You know, can you imagine if I got pulled over? You'd be like, no, I'm a pastor nowadays. Like, what? Yeah, that's about right. Right? That's repentance. I got a change of mind. I got a change of heart. And it changes your life. Guys, repentance is beautiful. We all need to repent daily. Amen? Not just drug dealers, preachers too, because we all fall short of God's ideal every single day. Like if you saw my thought life, you'd run out of here screaming. Repentance is beautiful. It's the heart of what it means to be a Christ follower. So here's my question. If baptism is for people who've messed up, why did Jesus get baptized? Like, Jesus was sinless, right? Matthew says this. He says, Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. And I want you to imagine this scene. I put up this stained glass because I want you to picture this. John's baptizing this prostitute, then the tax collector, then the drug dealer. Then he's baptizing all these sinners in Jordan. And then his cousin walks up and he's like, Jesus, what up, cuz? And they give like a little bro hug and everything. Remember, they're 30 years old at this point, 6 months younger, okay, than John. And John's like, why are you here, cuz? And Jesus sits down and he starts untying his sandals. And he's like, wait, what are you doing? And he starts wading into the water. He's here, I'm here to be baptized. And he's like, whoa, no. Matthew says, but John tried to talk Jesus out of it. He said, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? He's like, I can't untie your sandals, Jesus. I can't even carry Jesus's Jordans. You know Jesus wore Jordans, right? But Jesus said, no, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. And so John agreed to baptize him. And this is one of those things that you just go, what? Why does sinless Jesus, the Son of God, need to be baptized? And this is important, because Jesus was identifying with you, with me. Jesus didn't go into the water out of his need, but for yours. By going into the waters of baptism, he was identifying with all of sinful humanity. He went into that water with you and for you on behalf of sinners and tax cheats and prostitutes and porn addicts and pill pushers and preachers like me. Think about the humility this took. When Jesus got in the water, he didn't go like this. He goes, I'm going to go in the water. And hey, for those of you who are watching, just to be clear, this isn't really for me, okay? This one's for all the sinners out there. He was humble, and he did it out of love. And I used to think, I thought about that a little bit, because at Liquid, we have like support groups for people with addictions, like alcohol, drugs, porn, all sorts of things, all sorts of addictions. I want you to imagine you have a friend who has an addiction, and you see it destroying their life. And they need a support group to find freedom, but they're too scared to go alone. Here's my question to you today. Would you love them enough to go to the group with them, sit in there with them, next to them? Or would you worry what others might think when they see you enter the room? When it came time, would you need to clarify, hey, I just want to be super clear about this. I'm here for her. This isn't for me, okay? I don't have an issue. I'm just here to support her or him. Or would you love your friend enough to personally identify with them, to actually bear the shame, the guilt, and hoping and praying that because you were with them, they actually might find forgiveness and healing and freedom? In essence, that's what Jesus did when he was baptized. He identified with broken people like me and you, joining us in the water and inviting you to identify with him. And let me tell you, when Jesus got baptized, it was a powerful experience. Matthew describes it this way. He says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. So we know he was immersed, submersed. And at that moment, let's read it together. Heaven was what? It was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. I mean, this is our first glimpse of the full face of the Christian God, what Christians came to call the Trinity. You guys know what the Trinity is? It just means God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look at the stained glass. Put it up on the screen. Take a look at it. You see it? The Son is baptized, the Father speaks, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's this beautiful picture of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, working together to bring salvation to our world. Ever wondered, like, what would that be like? Like, if heaven opened and God the Father spoke his pleasure, his delight over you. Like, can you imagine hearing, like, God's voice? Like, this is my daughter, Erin, who I love. Oh, man, I love Erin. She's just such a source of delight. She's my favorite. Oh, that's my son, Robert. Oh, that kid. Oh, I'm so pleased with you. That's what God the Father is saying about his son here. He's saying, Jesus, you're my boy. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. Before Jesus did one miracle, he hasn't raised one dead person. He hasn't healed one sick person. He hasn't fed anybody. God the Father speaks words of blessing and affirmation, delight over him. By the way, P.S. parents, most powerful thing you can do for your kids. Before they score one goal in soccer, before they get one A on the report card, you just speak life over them. I love you. Nothing in your performance is going to ever change that. You delight me. And the Holy Spirit alights on Jesus. Let me tell you, man, people who get baptized always tell me how powerfully they sense the Holy Spirit when they're getting baptized. When I was in the Jordan River, I actually got to see the Spirit at work. Can I show you 60 seconds, my favorite baptism? There's this one woman, she was 75 years old, and I was worried she's like gonna fall down in the water. Let me tell you, that did not stop her from encountering the presence of the Holy Spirit. Watch this.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Take your time, sis. Take your time.
Yes!
Thank you, Lord.
You ever see that at the Jersey Shore? Yeah? There's that Carrie Underwood song. There's something in the water, right? Heaven opens. The Holy Spirit alights, meaning it comes and it sits on you. If you ever experienced the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's gentle like a dove, and sometimes it's powerful like a freight train. If you're a follower of Jesus and you haven't been baptized, can I just ask, like, what are you waiting for, man? Repent. Change your mind. God wants to speak over you. This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. I give my life for. I want to fill her with the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say, as your pastor, I want that for you. If you've never been baptized, immersed in water, this is the next step in your journey with Jesus. And you don't got to fly to Israel. Do it. In 3 weeks, you have a perfect chance to do it right here at Liquid on Baptism Sunday, May 7th. At every campus, here's what we do. Now, we roll in hot tubs. These are like modern day mikvahs. And we fill them with water. And all you got to do is bring a bathing suit, okay? We provide everything else. We're going to give you a t-shirt. We're going to give you a towel, flip-flops, hair gel, hair dryer. And you just scan the QR code or go to liquidchurch.com/baptism. And then you just invite everybody you know, because it's this public celebration. You invite your family, your friends, because you're going public with your faith in Christ. Just like Jesus identified with you in the water, in baptism, you identify with Jesus. And you understand what's happening here. When you go under the water, it's like you're dying to your old life of sin. You're being buried with Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, it's like you're being resurrected with Christ. That's why the t-shirts say what? What do they say? Raised to life. Because when you come out of that water, you're born again. You're washed clean. You're raised to brand new life with God as your Father, Jesus as your Savior, and the Spirit as your strength. Now, let me clarify something here, because I understand that some of you were sprinkled as a baby, or maybe you were baptized as an infant, and you know, a priest poured water over your head when you were little. And by the way, I want to be super respectful here, okay, because different traditions, if you grew up Roman Catholic or Lutheran, a lot of different traditions practice infant baptism, but I also want to be super clear. Infant baptism does not appear in the Bible anywhere. It's a church tradition, not a biblical practice. And it wasn't your decision, was it? Like, I mean, let me just ask you, if you were baptized as an infant, what do you remember about that moment? Probably nothing, right? Like, maybe you saw a photo of it, maybe your family told you about it, but you didn't really have a say in the matter, right? You were just a baby, and it was someone else's decision for you to be baptized. At Liquid, we don't practice infant baptism. We practice what the Bible calls believer's baptism, as you will see it here in Scripture, where you personally decide for yourself to trust Jesus, and then you publicly declare what you believe. Believer's baptism means that a person, you understand the gospel. You're already saved. You've made a decision, Jesus to be my Savior. So if you prayed last week, but then you choose to be baptized as your first act of obedience, it's your choice. Now, a lot of times people ask me, like, well, how old? Because we'll have kids, you know, who are like 5 years old, like, I want to get baptized. And you're like, why do you want to be baptized, young man? They're like, I want to go in the hot tub. Looks fun. Or worse, my mom said I should, okay? Parents, we normally say the age of accountability is around 7 years old, okay? It's when a child can just explain in very simple terms who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, why they want to be baptized. Because they have this sense, they understand God's love. They understand something of Jesus' sacrifice and can actually repent of their sins. Around 7 years old is when the inner sinner comes really out, okay? A baby, an infant, a toddler can't do that. But when you're old enough to believe, guys, it's time to make your faith your own, to do what Jesus commands. He says, I want you to believe and be baptizoed, fully immersed in water like me, not sprinkling. And I want to be sensitive here, because if your parents had you sprinkled as an infant, by the way, that's a beautiful thing. You know why your parents did that? Out of love for you. Like, that's beautiful. It's a sign of their hope that one day you'd walk with God when you're older. So understand, getting baptized as an adult isn't like turning your back on your heritage. It doesn't cancel or negate or diminish anything your parents did for you as a child. I hear that a lot. I want to get baptized as an adult, but I think my parents might get upset. Listen, as your pastor, can I just counsel you? Here, listen, lean in. Pray about it, but with authentic love, yeah? With respect and genuine honor, you just lovingly tell your family, Mom or Dad, thank you. Thank you for having me baptized as a baby. Now that I'm an adult, your dream for my life is coming true. I know Jesus personally, and I've given my life over to God. What parent can't celebrate that? Again, believer's baptism doesn't diminish what your parents did when you were a baby. It fulfills their desire for you as an adult. So trust God explain it with love, and then invite your family to come celebrate with you on Baptism Sunday. I'm just telling you, it's so powerful, and it's life-changing. It'll change your legacy. Just ask Anthony and Karen, two of my favorites, a couple from our Somerset County campus. They took the plunge in the spring. This is their story.
My name is Anthony Monetti.
Hi, I'm Karen Monetti, and we attend SoCo. As a business, we are both entrepreneurs. We own a fitness studio.
So we actually live right across the street from Somerset County Liquid Church. So we used to sit on our front porch, and I used to see like a truck pull up, literally, with all of the gear. I'm like, what's, we knew that it was a Liquid Church, but we never really knew Liquid Church.
Yeah, I remember always too, every Sunday, there was always somebody with a big Mickey hand waving, and I would always wave to him, like, hi, how are you, you know? Our friend used to come out of church and come to our porch with his family, and we would just chat on Sundays. So our friend did invite us, and it was just the wrong timing, and then a couple years went by, and I wound up finding Liquid's podcast. So I was listening to the podcast, I'm like, oh, these messages are really good, they're very relatable. And then when COVID happened, I started coming online and I started getting really excited. I was looking forward to Sunday. I would always have my coffee, my dog, and we would sit down with a laptop and watch every Sunday.
I actually said, I'm gonna not work on Sundays and I'd like to go with you. I thought it was more important to go with you, to be a part of that with you, because I was seeking that connection too, right? Like first day we walked in and it was Obi with the backwards Yankee hat on with a pair of Jordans. Just like, I was like, I'm getting the chills right now. I was like, whoa, this is not like church that I'm used to. This is powerful stuff. And my dad passed away last year. So it was just a very emotional year for me. And I just, like, within 30 seconds, I just started crying. I was just flooded with emotions. And looking back, it's like, I called my mom afterwards. I'm like, Mom, I don't understand. I just started crying. She's like, that was God. That was God speaking to you. So it's powerful. It's a whole different experience than what I'm used to. So after that first experience, I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. And all these small groups are forming. And Pastor Chris asked me if, you know, we can use, you know, our studio, which is right in Somerville. Came home and I was like, Karen, I'm gonna move class up to 5 and whoever shows up, shows up. So I text Pastor Chris. I'm like, all right, I made arrangements and let's do it. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Making space for that, I think, is more important in my life than just working, working, working. That's what I'm learning.
I chose to be baptized for many reasons, and some of them I really don't know why. I keep reading about the importance of baptism and why, like, yes, I got baptized as a baby, but I did not make that decision myself as a baby, and now as an adult, I want to make that decision on my own, and I want people to know that I do love Jesus, I do follow him, and he got baptized, and he died for our sins. I do think it's the Holy Spirit telling me something, and I really have to honor that. If somebody's on the fence to getting baptized, what I would say is just do it.
If you're even thinking about it, something's telling you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's giving you a big hug saying, I got you, and to do it.
Can we hear for Anthony and Karen and everyone who's getting baptized this spring? Guys, if God is speaking to you, don't quench the Holy Spirit, okay? The gospel opens with Jesus being baptized, and it closes with his command for you to be baptized too. That's the pattern all through scripture. Believe, then get baptized. So don't wait, don't delay, do it today. Spring is the perfect season to go public with your faith or even recommit your life to Christ if you've never been baptized. By the way, did you notice in every baptism picture, people have this big old smile on their face, right? You're like, oh yeah, cheese. No, they're literally beaming when they come up out of that water. They're like glowing, you know why? Because heaven opens and they feel the Father's pleasure and affirmation. Listen, you are never more in the dead center of God's will than when you get in that water. I want you to think about this, what baptism is. I mean, baptism is an act at the end of the day of obedience. You are following Jesus' example. You're obeying what he said. The one who loves me is the one who obeys me. God always honors that. He puts his hand of blessing on that. There's open heaven. The Holy Spirit descends. It's an act of repentance. You're publicly saying, hey, I'm turning from my old life of sin. I'm turning to Christ as Lord and my salvation. It's a beautiful thing. It's this change of heart. And it's this really act of commitment. You're going public with your faith about your relationship with Jesus. Think of baptism like a wedding ring. You know, 25 years ago, Colleen and I got engaged, and it's so funny. I gave her a diamond ring, little diamond, but it's a diamond nonetheless. It was like a symbol of my commitment, right? And it's so funny because we were just looking through pictures of it. And in every photo, she's standing there with her hand on my chest. And I was like, oh, because I'm so manly. She's like, no, I'm showing off my ring, right? She just wanted everyone to know, like, I'm with him, he's with me. We're not dating anymore. It's not casual, we're committed, right? That's what baptism is. It's literally a symbol of your relationship with Jesus. And you're saying to everyone, hey, I'm with Jesus, he's with me. And I want everybody to know about it, okay? It's commitment and it is an act of renewal. It really is. If you're feeling like dry, I felt disconnected, I feel like I'm not in sync with God. You don't have to get baptized again if you have been. But if there's this change going on, what God's doing on the inside, you know what it says in 2 Corinthians? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? New person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Again, you go under that water, you burying that old life of selfishness and sin, and you come alive to God's grace and peace, and then you live in his love. Amen? So can you meet me? Can we meet in that hot tub with our pastors on Sunday, May 7th? I hope you will join us. I'm hopping in the water. Our pastors are. We're going to take pictures. We'll give you a baptism certificate. It's an important milestone in your spiritual journey. So I hope you'll sign up today. Scan the QR code or liquidchurch.com/baptism, and we will do it together. Sound good? All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I do pray. I know your Holy Spirit is speaking. And Father, let it be words of comfort and conviction, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't just tell us to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. But Jesus, you were the first to go down into those waters and you said, come, follow me. And so Father, I pray for every man, woman, and child, boy and girl, who hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is baptized in 3 weeks. Father, would you open heaven in this place at all of our campuses? Speak your words of life, of love, of affirmation. Lord, their performance is not the verdict on them. You love them exactly as they are. But Lord, you have more. You have purpose and a calling in your divine plan. Lord, may this be their next step as they follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, everyone said together, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.